Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
I like doing it. You know, I love running routes.
We better be in Florida. It better be sunny. And there better be some sort of fruity drink involved.
With Matt Harmon.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
Looking forward to facing your mom at some point.
Last night at the bar we were at, I had some really bad queso.
I've never had no bad queso, really.
It's Thursday, March 9th. Got a huge podcast. I mean, we just gave you like almost an hour and a half on the last episode unintentionally. Totally didn't mean to happen. That's not going to happen on this episode. I sort of kind of promised that. But what I will promise you is an incredible show, a banger of a podcast, because we are joined by my good friend, a literal good real life friend. We've been to each other's weddings, for God's sakes. It's Patrick Claibon of the NFL Network. Patrick, what's going on, man?
Glad to be here. Glad to be back in a place where I can see you. I can't. We're still not there with the physical. I still have your wedding gift, actually, which I meant to give you that morning. I wrote out a long, thoughtful note about your journey and the two of you together. And it's been sitting on my counter for coming up on a year now. So I would like to give that to you before you leave my life forever. So I'm looking forward to that.
So many things to say there. First, the most important of which is thank you. The second most important of which is that I'm not leaving your life for forever, even if I am leaving the city of Los Angeles. But that's neither here nor there. What's important for our purposes today, Patrick, is not wedding gifts, although we could do, we could do a full hour on wedding gifts and everything that comes with that easily. What we're going to do today is we're going to do a little bit of a quarterback matchmaking. We're going to spin the quarterback carousel. We're going to try to pair a guy or a couple of guys with every single team that I've kind of earmarked as a potential major quarterback addition team. We're going to get to all that in a second. We're going to be very busy. But first and foremost, we do have a Lamar Jackson update. On Tuesday's podcast, we talked about how he did not get the exclusive. Rather, he got the non-exclusive franchise tag. Again, we discussed it a bit on the last show. Eric and I broke it down a little bit. But since then, we have learned that the following teams have allegedly said they aren't in the Lamar Jackson pursuit. Those teams are the Falcons, the Dolphins, the Panthers, the Commanders. We've gotten some mixed messages from the Raiders. Claibon, you're like a huge Lamar guy. You've been a big Lamar guy for a long time. So it would be silly for me to not ask you your general thoughts on the situation. We're going to talk about Lamar a lot during this quarterback episode, but thoughts on the situation, thoughts on the fact that all these teams are, again, allegedly not in the mix.
Yeah, and that's the key point, because I don't want to fly off the handle before we get going into next week, because operating as their own representation, right, there could be some strategy here and kind of lowering the bar, the concept of the bar for the other teams that there would potentially be the competition, as if to say, well, there's so few teams interested, so our number is not going to be what it could be if all of these teams were publicly expressing interest. I think that's the most charitable reading. The least charitable reading would probably preclude me from being on any podcast in the future. So I'm not gonna necessarily give that one. But it speaks to, because so much of the conversation goes around, you know, Lamar and not having an agent. Mm-hmm. And Lamar has navigated this process. The draft spot is slotted. It was tough for me to understand why he would give somebody 3% of that when the draft spot was slotted anyway. He was going to make the same amount of money regardless whether or not he had an agent. Some people said his draft spot would have been different had he had an agent. I don't know if they make, if that somehow changes who he is as a football player. That's nonsense. But so many times in these conversations, which I have this conversation with my father all the time, he's like, well, you know, you got to bite the bullet. You just have to have the agent. I think as long as we're acknowledging the why, if we're saying that the football apparatus itself is going to take an oppositional view towards you because you don't have an agent, then you should say that. You should say that. But so much of the conversation was, oh, well, you know, dumb football player need agent. Agent smart, get good thing. That doesn't necessarily move the needle. And so for me, when I see these teams backing out, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I can't make decisions for these teams. I don't want Lamar on a team that doesn't want him. Because I would like to see him be successful. I like watching him play football. It was very frustrating to watch Pat Ricard run digs, you know, things.
You're telling me, pal.
And so it's I like that Lamar has navigated this process to where he gives himself some leverage. And I know that there are those within the league that don't necessarily, you know, it's their job to make sure that players don't have leverage. That's why we have a 10-year CBA. And we have guys that are in seventh grade that will never get a chance to collectively bargain, right, for their rights. And so it's It remains to be seen. I would hope that a few teams get in there, and Lamar's paid to his level of accomplishment, which is what I hope for literally everybody in the league.
100%. And I think we'll get there. I think it's fair to have some reservations about, I think some reservations about Lamar as a player, but like how many of quarterbacks in the NFL can you say you don't have any reservations about him as a player? You know, like, yeah, he hasn't finished the last. And by the way, I think one thing that kind of grinds my gears a little bit is like, well, he got injured the last 2 years, but they weren't on rushing plays. It's like, that's really nobody I think is in good faith making an argument that like he's going to get more hurt because he runs. He might get more hurt because he's skinny or something like that. I don't know. But regardless, like, I think it's okay to have some like hesitations about him as a player. But to say that all these teams are just like totally out right now, I think is nonsense. And I think this will be an evolving story, essentially.
Yeah. And I just need to see the data, because we have this conversation about Bryce Young. I just need to see the numbers that show me that somebody is more likely to get hurt because they have a certain arbitrary amount of weight on their body. If the argument is, well, you can't pay somebody a guaranteed contract because they're going to get hurt, then you literally are saying that football players don't deserve guaranteed contracts.
Yeah, exactly.
The injury rate in this league is going to be 100%. And it, breaking news, it is not good for you. You are never going to be healthier coming out of a football season than you were going into a football season. It's a game where large men are running and it's injuries are going to happen regardless. They could happen on air. And so to say that like somebody is, because I've been on this whole injury prone thing as a concept. Yeah. I mean, if guys are getting older and they have the accumulation of injuries, that's one thing. This man is 26 years old.
Yeah.
He's 26 years old. We're just not there yet.
We're all getting older, slowly but surely. And I think the common phrase is like, well, we haven't seen that many quarterbacks, like with Bryce Young, we haven't seen that many quarterbacks under 210 pounds, like be successful in the NFL. Well, we haven't seen that many quarterbacks under 210 pounds, period. So I think that's why, as you said, the data set is not very large. We could have a whole long conversation about quarterback injury rates. We won't do that. What we're going to do instead is we're going to get into our matchmaker here, Claybon. We've got a lot to talk about here. You know, we saw three quarterbacks sign long-term deals earlier this week. Derek Carr, Daniel Jones, Geno Smith. So now by my count, though, that still leaves 17 teams who could be making some kind of significant move at the quarterback position in 2023. Let's kind of set this up by saying who's available here, like who's available in our pool of matchmaking that we're going to do. First of all, the free agent quarterbacks fall. There's a lot of them. There's a ton available, but they fall somewhere on a wide spectrum of like the stopgap quarterback spectrum. There's an abundance of like first round flameouts, potential placeholders. 15 of those guys I'll nominate here: Jimmy Garoppolo, Gardner Minshew, Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, because he's probably going to get cut, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum, Jacoby Brissett, Andy Dalton, Mike White, the pride of ODU, ODU's finest, Taylor Heineke, and Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley, who's restricted.
Got to get that Pro Bowl quarterback
Pro Bowl quarterback, baby. That is on your resume. First of all, Claybon, I think that Jimmy stands out as like a tier above the rest of these guys. But does anybody else just off the list jump out as like reasonably exciting?
From the jump to me, because we went through this with Baker being free and the 49ers were having their particular injury problems after Garoppolo goes down, after Trey Lance goes down. And there was all this, well, no, is Baker going to San? And I remember thinking, Jacoby Brissett is being benched for the nasty man. He has played perfectly fine the entire season. I wanted Jacoby Brissett in Santa Clara because I would like to see him that have that opportunity. He deserved. I think he's there with Jimmy G, personally, to me, when I'm looking at this list of guys, because, you know, the Teddy thing, he's kind of, we've seen the decline happen in Teddy physically. I think at this point, I think last year kind of speaks to that a little bit. So I would have Jacoby and Jimmy up there, and then maybe Jameis, and there's real separation within this pack of quarterbacks to me.
Yeah, I love Jacoby Brissett. I'm sure listeners of the podcast are sick of me mentioning this stat, but he was 12th in EPA per dropback, whereas Deshaun Watson was like outside the top 40 guys when he played. They were in essentially the exact same environment. So I think Jacoby Brissett, I ranked the free agent quarterbacks like Lamar, you know, asterisk, he's sort of kind of not a free agent, although he can negotiate with other teams. Jimmy, and then Jacoby Brissett. I'm with you that he is like he's like the third guy there. So now there's also the consensus top four rookie quarterbacks. We've got Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. And then we've got our trade options: Aaron Rodgers, Ryan Tannehill, And I had to throw my guy Tyrod Taylor in there. You know,
got to.
They just gave all this money to big Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. Shout out to Danny Dimes for getting paid. But, you know, Tyrod, maybe they want to get his backup contract off the books. Anyways, that's our pool of guys to pick from here. Unless you've got like another name I have completely forgotten about, because there's
no Matt, because this list is so extensive. You know, I might have missed Taylor Heinicke. He might not have necessarily been on priority list.
I'll never miss ODU's list finest quarterbacks. I will never miss ODU's finest Taylor Heinicke. I mean, for God's sakes, I put Mike White on here. I think Taylor Heinicke can get on the list as well. We're gonna go through these guys or these teams and groups here. Tier one. These teams are probably veteran hunting to me. Again, maybe you can disagree. I've got four teams in here. The Jets, Washington, Tampa Bay, Arizona. Let's start with the Jets because I think this one's going to be the easiest to make a match here. It feels like Aaron Rodgers are bust to me, Claybon. It also feels like Jets are bust on the inverse for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, to be 100% clear, hiring Nathaniel Hackett is a giant flashing neon sign that says we want Aaron Rodgers. there's no other reason coming off of the catastrophe that was the 2022 Denver Broncos, where you say like, oh yeah, we want that. Yeah, let's get that offensive mind Nathaniel Hackett in here, which is why I have them on my no Lamar list. Like, let's not do this.
No, thank you.
we don't want to see that. We don't want that to happen. But if they believe that it's Aaron Rodgers, yeah, sure. You get a Hall of Famer. You get a Hall of Famer, you go get the Hall of Famer. You try to win a Super Bowl. To me, if it's not Aaron Rodgers, I think Jimmy Garoppolo makes the most amount of sense.
Yeah, I think that he would probably be the second pivot there, kind of their plan B. I agree. They might be in the Lamar sweepstakes, but I just
don't want to see it. Like, if we're talking about like what I want to see, I do not want to. I've watched Greg Roman have his clutches on this. It reminds me, which we always limit this whenever we talk, Mike Shula being in charge of Cam Newton's career.
Yes,
I want to see something else. I would like to see something different. I don't want to see Lamar and Nathaniel Hackett at all. I might not want to see Nathaniel Hackett at anybody.
No, yeah, being
completely honest.
Yeah, I think we've seen about enough of that. But his main job is, I guess, to be the offensive coordinator. But mostly, it's to hold, you know, the sign when Rodgers gets like to the airport in New York, when he lands in one of those airports, to be there in the limo suit, hold the sign. Aaron Rodgers, he tosses it. Yeah, they run into each other's arms. Because I guess they like talking about Jeopardy together, and like, maybe to me, every time you hear the Nathaniel Hackett stuff, like, oh, him and Rodgers just love that he could be real with him. I'm like, is he just like making fun of this guy, and like Hackett can take it because he's so positive and upbeat? I don't know.
It's very different because like it seemed like the relationship that Nathaniel Hackett had with everybody is great. He seems like a lovely person. That isn't necessarily moving the needle for me. I would like to see, you know, do you scheme guys open, right? Can you facilitate a team having success? Because there's a whole lot of nice people out there, but you can look at the history of the NFL. They don't necessarily let those people operate football teams all the time.
Well, I think we can both settle here because, again, I think on the inverse of this, if the Jets and Rodgers don't make it work, if he didn't enjoy their vibe when they just flew out to see him, I don't really know what happens with Rodgers. I also think because of that, it's not going to necessarily cost like the two first round picks thing to me that was a talking point. That's not gonna happen. I honestly think this could get done with for a second because I think the Packers are ready and willing to move on from Rodgers at this point. So I think for our first match here, we match Aaron Rodgers with the Jets.
Yeah, easy. Done. Book it.
Perfect. This next one here is a little more complicated. Washington Commanders, they've said that they like Sam Howell, but also if a veteran comes in there and competes and he's going to start, boom, they're going to start that guy. So this one does feel to me, you tell me if you disagree, feels like this is a veteran and Sam Howell battling it out in camp. Who do we like that veteran to be?
I think that veteran is Ryan Tannehill. This is where I'm placing Ryan Tannehill because honestly, I think Sam Howell is the person that they would like to start. Ultimately, that vet is going to end up being the backup, and Ryan Tannehill would push Sam Howell. But if we're talking about the talent, like Sam Howell as a talent football prospect, height, weight, arm strength measures up there. That last year at North Carolina wasn't quite what he would like, but this is a guy that could have been, he was talked about as a potential number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. And so he falls for some reason. There's an extended period of Carson Wentz playing football. Everybody regrets that, including Carson Wentz. And so Sam Howell finally has a chance to start. We saw him at the end of last season. I think that's who they want to go with. But as a stopgap, which I, you know, unfortunately for Ryan Tannehill is kind of where he is. in his career. I think he's looking for a spot where you could potentially accomplish something and push that to 2024, maybe get a new deal. But it's it feels like Howell with a Tannehill backup spot.
That's I kind of thought Tannehill might get paired with somebody where he actually might have a better path to start. But shoot, honestly, the whole Sam Howell thing, like we saw him play one game, which it's a little weird for a team to go, we are not going to play you over Carson Wentz. I like Taylor Heinicke for what he is, but we're not going to play you over Taylor Heinicke all year freaking long. And then we're going to just roll into 2023 with you as a clear cut starter. I like Ryan Tannehill being there as a backup plan. I think Tannehill is still like, he's a more than passable starter. If he was available in this free agent market, would you rather have Jimmy G, Ryan Tannehill, Jacoby Brissett are like top two guys there?
Yeah, if he's available free agent wise, I'm still leaning towards Jacoby and Jimmy G. But in terms of like, what's the number going to be? Because we've already established Rodgers might not even net a one. Like, are we talking some inconsequential pick for a quarterback that could potentially? We saw this team in contention. We know the defense is good enough to do it. Jack Del Rio figured out how to count to 11 at some point during last season, and so there's the path there for success. And I think that's something that Ryan Tannehill would like to have because he's come close to that moment. He had the one of the worst playoff games that we've seen anybody have, where the Cincinnati Bengals eventually make it to the Super Bowl. And one of the largest reasons that happened, aside from from Cincinnati ascending and recognizing the talent that they had, was Ryan Tannehill. He was miserable in that game
and couldn't stay healthy last year either. And he's another guy that sneakily relies a lot on mobility, and you wonder how much that will age as he, you know, how that ability will age as he gets older. So I like Tannehill going here. I think that's a good that's a much more exciting quarterback battle than I probably would have picked out myself. So let's move to the next team here. Tampa Bay, Kyle Trask. I mean, is this a team that's in full on like, we'll think about it in 2024, or do they have something bigger up their sleeve here? Who are we matching with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I'll throw an asterisk in here, and I will match Lamar Demetrius Jackson with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Whoa!
Figure out a way to make it work, because there were some discussions. I was trying to figure this out, talk with the folks on the news desk. How do we get to two first-round picks to sign this offer sheet? Would a team like, say, the Seattle Seahawks be able to trade down, turn number five into two 2023 first-round picks? Could they do that? Mm. And there's some uncertainty there. I got to figure out and look at the look at the CBA and the official rules.
We're all scrambling after this whole non-exclusive franchise tag thing. There's a lot we got to figure out.
But I think that's a vehicle where, so let's say Miami, because of the not having the first round pick, because of the chicanery surrounding pursuit of a head coach and a certain quarterback and all of these things, it gets Lamar back to his home state of Florida with a team that has a certain amount of offensive talent and a team that we know was previously poised to be in the position of a winner. They saw some things go south. It gives Lamar the best receiver he's ever played with, if they're able to keep Mike Evans. And so
two times over, by the way, with Chris Godwin there too.
Yeah, no, yeah, you can go down the line. I mean,
Russell Gage.
this is a man who won the MVP with Willie Snead. So there's any number of things to get excited about, and maybe I'll throw Lamar on this list one more time. But I think the best match for Tampa Bay would be Lamar.
I like it. Wasn't expecting that. They have like no cap space. That's going to be an interesting thing to figure out. But I love the pie in the sky idea, because if you look at the Bucks roster, it's like, I get that there's the idea that they totally tear this thing down. They think about, you know, next year. They think about tanking for Caleb Williams or, you know, whatever. I don't know. I think there's another option here where it clearly is what they do with Lamar. They just roll back the same talent that they had with Tom Brady and try to be that team. And I think that is really convincing. And my God, I would love to see Lamar play with Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin especially is like a perfect fit for Lamar, who's a great middle of the field passer. Those two would be just a perfect fit together.
And honestly, this is within a division where it's another team where people are constantly talking about, they're pushing everything to the future. It is not my money. I enjoy a league where teams are trying to win. Tanking does absolutely nothing for me. I am a fan of abolishing the draft in the first place. I don't want to see I want to see teams try to facilitate the best team that they can every single year. And so the idea of these mandated lean years, Matt, is just not something I want. I would like to get rid of that as a concept. I just don't want it.
Couldn't agree more. I love that the Saints you know, continue to push it every year. And, you know, quite frankly, I love it for Saints fans. Like, there's nothing more, I think, like, big brain NFL Twitter and NFL and analysts kind of missed the boat on this whole thing, because it's like, listen, you want to be a Saints fan going every single day, like, well, you know what? We're going to absolutely suck this year. I'm still going to go to games. I'm still going to give it my full attention, but because we might be good in the future. No, you'd much rather be like a 9-10 win team. And at least, like, all right, I know Derek Carr might not be Patrick Mahomes or Justin Herbert or anything like that. You know, not Joe Burrow, that's for sure. But we got a chance to win a division here. And that's clearly what Lamar Jackson would give the New Orleans Saints. Every team's goal is not to win the Super Bowl, just to be super, super clear. I know that should be the goal, but that's not the goal.
Yeah. And so people are trying to be realistic, but the most realistic view of this is the ball's not round. Literally anything could happen. We don't know how a season is going to play out. We see Eli Manning win two Super Bowls. Trent Dilfer is still a part of our lives because he was on a team with one of the best defenses ever. Seeing things as a foregone conclusion, it's never going to work out. And even when we do, you're still going to have like the Kansas City Chiefs pretending that nobody believed in them. And so it's like, everything's going to be fine. Just try to win. That's all I care about. Just try to win.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Bucks go sign Lamar. Trade for him. Figure out a way. Cheat the system.
Try to win and fall ass backwards into a Super Bowl if you can. Because that's basically what, unless you are the Brady Patriots or the Mahomes Chiefs, like, that's pretty much what it is. You be the Rams 1 year and fall ass backwards into a Super Bowl. The Bucks could certainly do that with Lamar. Arizona Cardinals, my last team here, only because I don't think Kyler will be fully healthy until later in the season. So do they get themselves like a 1 year prove it type of guy, some sort of bridge quarterback? And who should that quarterback be?
And so everything that I just said 45 seconds ago, throw it out. I don't see a route, Matt. I don't see a route for the Arizona Cardinals to be good in 2023. So the matchup that I put here is Gardner Minshew. Like, that's really, they just try to catch some fire. You know, the social team can post some pictures. It's like, hey, this guy invented facial hair. He's different. This is
look
wild.
At his jorts.
Yeah.
Look at the jorts.
Wow. He was in a van. And so then, like, you know, builds a little bit of storm, wins a couple of games, and you have this phenomenon. Maybe that's the that's the route to relevancy, excuse me, for the 2023 Cardinals. Because other than that, like, so much of this team was Kyler. And then like, I'm picturing a nuke trade at some point. He's openly campaigning for it, like, essentially in Texas with Dez, like, recruiting Cowboys fans. As if to say, like, hey, Jerry, like, this is it. I'm the missing piece. And it, other than Kyler, a failed trade attempt by Bill O'Brien is the only reason that the team had the other marquee talent that they have on it. I'm just not picturing it. And as nice as Jonathan Gannon was when we talked to him after he had the job, I'm not sure how things are going to look. So I think it's Gardner Minshew. Take your losses and look ahead to 2024. Because the worst case scenario is Kyler coming back too early on a torn cruise ship. And just limiting his ability in the future. I don't want to see that. So we'll take a shot at Minshew Mania.
I am not a Gardner Minshew bro, was never really on the Minshew Mania train, but this is much more exciting than I would have. Like, I was totally going to slap him with like Mariota or Bridgewater, but that's pretty boring, man. I mean, what did I just say earlier about being a Saints fan, at least going into every Sunday with like some level of hope? The Cardinals could at least get to September with some level of hope. I think once the actual games start and we've got Gardner Minshew throwing 10 balls to Rondale Moore a game, that's not going to be very exciting, but at least the lead up to it could be fun. And there's some connective tissue there with Jonathan Gannon coming from Philadelphia. He probably knows Gardner. He's done the little pew 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 thing with Gardner before. That definitely seems like that the social team is putting that video together right now. So
as we
that, and it's good for Gard. It's good for Gardner too. He gets to actually like play some games. So good for him. All right. Love that. That was, again, much more exciting. Not exciting on the field, but much more exciting for this exercise than I probably thought. Tier two. These teams, I think, are probably drafting a rookie and or signing a stopgap. Plot twist here. I've got five teams and there's only four consensus first round quarterbacks. So you can feel free to pair a rookie with these teams along with a veteran quarterback slash backup, just the veteran, and save the rookie for another team, or neither if you dare. I've got Houston, Indianapolis, Las Vegas, Atlanta, in Carolina. Atlanta seems like they're the most content, of course, with the current guy they have at QB1, Desmond Ridder, because, I mean, Matt Corral is the QB1 for Carolina right now, which is frightening. Jarrett Stidham's not even under contract for the Las Vegas Raiders. So there's a lot that we can do here. Let's start with Houston. Who is the match for them among rookie, veteran, and or neither?
Well, I think it's been the spot for a long time. Houston, the match to me is Bryce Young. Also bringing in a veteran backup like Andy Dalton and just playing things out. Now, how do they acquire Bryce Young? Because let's say the Colts have a similar idea regarding Bryce Young. And so then we have to figure out the price for Bryce and Chicago holds those cards. But I think if everybody gets what they want and the deals aren't able to be made, like Ryan Poles sees things fall apart, then they can hang out at two after the Bears take whoever they take and get Bryce Young. And I think that's the best match for them. And honestly, Andy Dalton is not going to get a whole lot of people excited. Maybe if there's that contingency in Texas that says like, oh, you have to sit and watch and learn Ooh. Through osmosis. I don't know why you would do that with Bryce Young, but it would give them that option. And especially if they're concerned that, you know, whatever arbitrary weight that he needs to get to turn into Wolverine and become injury proof, then they would have Andy Dalton, who did start a number of games last year. Not a lot of them were anything to write home about, but he was able to successfully play football for an extended period of time.
Yeah, he was like PFF darling Andy Dalton last year, which to me, my contention is because he was throwing a lot of balls to a guy who's always wide ass open in Chris Olave. So that helps. That's going to boost your PFF grade and your deep accuracy completion rate or whatever the hell metrics he was really good in last year. But yeah, hey, Andy Dalton, go back to Texas. You know, he rocks the purple poncho. That's a free plug for poncho, the shirts. Great shirt, brand. I mean, my favorite.
Incredible shirts. Breathable
back, baby. That's what it's all about. Hey, we talked about aging earlier. That's what it's all about, the breathable back flaps there for Poncho. So he can rock those, the purple one, TCU, Horned Frogs, the whole thing. I love Bryce Young here, though. I think that's really fun. They've got a nucleus, I think, to potentially start building around there with Damian Pierce, who was good last year. Their offensive tackles are really good. Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard, good pairing there. I'm still like kind of a Nico Collins fan, so I think Bryce Young in a Shanahan, Bobby Slowick type of offense could be really fun too. So I like that match. Indianapolis Colts. I'm really curious where you want to go with this one, because I think there's a lot of potential directions.
There are a bunch of potential directions, and I flip-flopped and waffled. As you know, Matt, I am a fence sitter. I will ride that thing all the way till wherever the fence ends, I guess the ocean.
Noted centrist Patrick Claybon. Yes, correct.
Yeah. The first time I've ever been accused of that. But some people have said that because they don't understand how words work. But I would say Anthony Richardson with Sam Mehlinger as the backup. He gets to stick around. Perhaps, again, if there are those who operate off of this idea that you get better at quarterback by not playing it, then that works. I think what ultimately those things do when you want to sit somebody is you're protecting them from perception of going through mm-hmm. the bumps and the bruises. But to me, my grand theory of football, if you're good, you're good.
Right.
We have Patrick Mahomes now. I think we would have had Patrick Mahomes, whether or not he was watching. I think we saw Trevor Lawrence have that growth. Yeah, you're going to get a point where people are like, hey, this guy isn't good.
This is, yeah.
But that's somebody saying things. That's not necessarily an accurate evaluation of what a quarterback
can
be.
There were more than enough moments last year of like, do we need to have a conversation about Trevor Lawrence? And then he, you know, won a playoff game. Yeah. So,
And so like you just have to, you see a guy make plays and we have risk takers and sometimes things don't go right. But we saw it over and over again when Trevor was missing throws. They were still the right decisions. They were the right decisions. The ball wasn't landing in the right spot, but there's so much you can do when you're still making the right read. You're making the right throw. The location just got a little bit off. And I think Anthony Richardson, clearly the combine performance doesn't necessarily do much for me. We knew going in that Anthony was an incredible athlete, but I think it confirms the things that we saw on the field, in which that, yeah, this is an explosive athlete. He can make the prop. Florida's offense was an absolute joke, and Will Levis has this defense too, because Kentucky was going through it as well. But you get the talent in there, and then you try to do things, right? But you have to have that talent first. And I think if they're not able to facilitate the deal that they can to get Bryce Young, the question becomes, do we want to be safe or do we want to be great? And I could see Jim Irsay lobbying for something else.
I also think Ballard's a big traits guy, and a lot of this comes back to Shane Steichen as well, who obviously is going to get a lot of credit for what happened with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia, although Jalen Hurts should get most of the credit for what happened with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Yes. But I do think that we are, I said this with Eric Edholm yesterday, that we are having sort of a, I think we should be having a reckoning with the quarterback position, that mobility and arm strength and all these traits that Anthony Richardson has, it doesn't necessarily mean like, let's sit him and hope that all of the other stuff catches up to that. What it really is like, you can make a winning offense. You could maybe not a winning offense necessarily, but you can make a functional, dangerous, interesting offense with those traits right away, just like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts when he got on the field. I know that he was behind Carson Wentz for a while, but that rookie year for Jalen Hurts, like, he played a little bit, he ran, and it was exciting, and it was fun, and I know they tanked that last game, and they put Sudfeld in there or whatever, but before that, they were at least a functional offense because of what Jalen Hurts brought, simply from a tools perspective, and then we saw what happened this year. They were in the damn Super Bowl when, again, quote, everything else caught up. Really, he just got better and better, just like Jalen Hurts does every year. If Anthony Richardson's able to do the same stuff, I think he could follow a very similar trajectory, even if he has to sit 5 arbitrary games behind Sam Mehlinger, which I totally don't want to see.
Nobody. We've seen enough last season. Even though, you know, there was the coaching turnover, there was the regrettable decision. All of that is now in the past, and everybody will get a fair shot. We'll get a fair shot to properly evaluate, because the Colts' end of season was a significant dumpster fire. If we're being completely honest, and I trust that this staff, the new staff, can give us something to where we can see what Anthony Richardson might be. It may not be, you know, the limit, and maybe he has to change teams and ultimately, but there's no way you can apply the talent that he has to somebody else. Like, you're not going to be able to do that. All of the other stuff, if you believe in yourself as a coaching staff to put guys in position to be successful, you can do.
Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, that's like a fun start right there. Even Alec Pierce, like, hey, throw that guy like 2 or 3 jump balls down the field.
Yeah.
That could be pretty fun. Yeah. I like that.
Jelani Woods right there. It's potential to be fun. It's like some fun excitement.
Put Jelani Woods and Mo Alley Cox on the field together.
Yeah, just have
mind blowing thought.
Yeah, you've essentially got the Pacers out there at that point when you put Richardson in. It's a fun team. It's a fun imaginary concept, which is a theme of these fun matches that I'm making here.
That's a fun concept. I love the idea. That is an off the bus team if I've ever seen one. That's a bunch of big MFing dudes right there. I love it. All right, Las Vegas Raiders, next team up here. What the hell are the Raiders doing?
I think the dream matchup for Dave Ziegler, for Coach McDaniels, is for the board to shake out as it has here for me, hypothetically, and then they're in position to leapfrog a team, because I know Carolina is going to be considering this as well. And get CJ Stroud. I think it makes too much sense. We've seen, obviously, there's the golf comps, which are a little bit weird, because, like, if anybody watches that Buckeyes Georgia game, it's like, wait, CJ Stroud can run? Like
Jared Goff ain't doing that.
It's like when the Raptor figured out how to open doors. And so, like, that's not Jared Goff. Maybe you could look at the old, like, it's a throwback, but the old Geno West Virginia days, and say, like, oh, there's some, you know, there's a height weight comp there. But I think CJ Stroud works for that offense, what they would like that offense to be. And, you know, despite the fact, because I know some people have been concerned about, like, Jared Stidham's feelings, like, we can't pursue Lamar because we don't want to make Jared I don't know where that comes from. But I think that matchup works. And did I give them a backup as well? Yeah, Huntley. Go get Tyler Huntley, have him back up.
There you go.
And maybe start early again if you're a believer in that particular strategy.
I mean, CJ Stroud's going to absorb all that Pro Bowl energy from Tyler Huntley. You love to see Tyler Huntley. I mean, he mostly is like a run first quarterback, so he can really remind CJ, hey, like, you know, it'll get you in the Pro Bowl if you run a little bit here, just like me, buddy. I love CJ Stroud. I'm a big CJ Stroud fan, not because he's like one of the only guys among this crop that I've watched a ton of, because I've watched so much Garrett Wilson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Chris Olave over the last couple of years, but I get where the Goff comps are coming from, just because I think he's similar to Goff as a thrower. And I think Goff gets a little bit too much crap sometimes, but Like, imagine Jared Goff if he could actually create out a structure, which we've seen a little bit with CJ Stroud. So I love the idea of CJ Stroud throwing to Hunter Renfrow, to Davante Adams. That's going to be really fun there. Atlanta, next team up here. Are they sticking pat with Desmond Ridder, or are they making some sort of aggressive move?
They better. If they're out, if Matt, if they're really out on Lamar, because like I had already like, you know, I was putting a spot on my wall for my Lamar Falcons jersey. if they're truly out on Lamar, the Desmond Ridder better be it. Like, he absolutely better be it, because the things that those people in Atlanta, Georgia have been through in these past few years, if they have to watch Lamar go be successful somewhere else and Desmond Ridder doesn't pan out, then this is going to be one of those decisions like a draft day trade for Mitchell Trubisky, where it's constantly in the back of the mind for everybody. Because, you know, 28-3, that happens. You lose football games to the best quarterback ever sometimes. But when you willingly choose to not be involved in an opportunity to get a 26-year-old MVP, then that better be your guy. So, hey, I don't necessarily believe in like pressure and like, oh, Desmond Ridder has to try hard now, but people are going to remember. If it doesn't pan out for Arthur Smith and Desmond Ridder, especially coming off a season where Kyle Pitts got the fewest catchable balls in the history of the NFL. I don't know what the exact stat was, but like Mariota was sending him on missions every single where to the extent where he eventually got hurt because Mariota's throwing an uncatchable ball. So it better work, but they've clearly made their choice. So that's what I'm doing here. I'm giving them Desmond Ridder. That's what they want.
Yeah, it was pretty incredible that we had to go through this discussion of like, why isn't Drake London producing like the other rookie wide receivers? And then as soon as Desmond Ridder, and I don't love the idea, by the way, of just rolling in with Desmond Ridder. I think it'd be great to have some sort of plan B. Like, I think they got to have some sort of veteran backup. We can talk about that here in a second. But like, as soon as Desmond Ridder gets in there, Drake London starts putting up numbers, man, because Drake London is good at football. Kyle Pitts, good at football. I like what we saw out of Tyler Algier. Like, this definitely was the really fun Lamar team. I think we got to give him some level of veteran backup. Who would you like to pick between Carson Wentz, Marcus Mariota, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold, Jacoby Brissett? I'm not sending Jacoby Brissett to this team, but what are we doing here?
Maybe this is the spot for Baker Mayfield, perhaps. I mean, does Baker want to start? Does he actually believe that he's in a position to try to challenge for a starting quarterback job? Maybe that's it. Maybe let's have Baker in there. We'll send him the flowery branch. We'll talk about competition. He'll give some motivational quotes and say that nobody believes in him, and then he can back up Desmond Ridder.
Oh, yikes!
Regrettably typing.
Yikes! All right, Carolina Panthers. Please, let's make this a little more enjoyable than Baker Mayfield backing up Desmond Ridder.
Okay, so this is a spot for Will Levis, the Kentucky quarterback.
Yeah,
showed
it's
off
gotta be.
The big arm, comes in, goes to Carolina. I'm trying to judge a reaction, as I say, Will Levis. And then Sam Darnold comes back.
He comes back.
Is the backup potentially a start. Sam played pretty well down the stretch when it was the no given version of the Panthers, like the DGAF Panthers that came out towards the end of the season.
One of my favorite versions of the Panthers in the last decade.
They were really fun. And it's like, they don't care. Like, whatever, Detroit, you're going to the playoffs. We're going to run the ball 720 times and you're not going to stop us at all. I like that addition of the Panthers. Maybe they try to recapture some of that towards the end, because Frank Reich comes in and he said, you know, much to the chagrin of, you know, some people in certain communities, that the reason things went south in Indy was because they couldn't run the ball. They had an extended period where they were incapable of running the ball at all. They have the ability to do so there. And that's the formula, right? That's the formula for a rookie quarterback. And I think Will Levis can become one of those, you know, play action rookie junkies and toss some deep balls and have some success there. And so I think that match, you know, that match works, especially if the board shakes out that way. I think they wouldn't necessarily have a problem taking him there.
I think Sam Darnold has eased into his like high quality backup phase, because if your ecosystem is good, and the Panthers sneakily had a good ecosystem at the end of last year, like Donta Foreman is running the hell out of the ball. Their offensive line is underrated. DJ Moore is obviously really good. In that type of environment, when things are pretty clear for old Sam Darnold, things could be pretty good. You just don't want him playing for too long. So if we got to start him for a month leading into whenever Will Levis gets in there, that's great. Okay, I like that one. Let's move on to tier three here. Possible new horizons. We've got Green Bay, because we just gave Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets. If it's Jordan Love, I'm glad that they're confident in Jordan Love. I'm ready to see Jordan Love, but like there is a scenario where this team is in the quarterback wilderness as early as November if Love is not that good. So I think we kind of have to give them somebody here as a potential, not threatening, like we definitely don't need Baker Mayfield here just talking about like, yeah, I might get my shot. You know, we don't need somebody like that, but somebody that's non-threatening that can exist behind Jordan Love. And if Love is, you know, a disaster or something, I guess this guy has to start games and that would be a non-fun media situation.
Well, then have I ever got the non-threatening backup potential multi-game starter for you, and that is one White Mike. We could get Mike White over to Green Bay to back up Jordan Love. And it's, you know, I'm unassuming. Mike White, you know, potential Jets media darling, had the world in his clutches for a couple of weeks there. And I think Mike White, after getting a nice little deal, it would be a serviceable backup. But I'm higher on Jordan Love than I think a lot of people are. You know, the circumstances in Green Bay, there was a lot of flux. You come into an offense where Aaron, of course, is going to take the majority of the snaps, but then the entire offense is dictated through Aaron, the checks, all of those things. And we could be hypothetically in a season where Jordan Love's, he's not out there doing an Aaron Rodgers impersonation. He can be out there being Jordan Love. And so like, it's as little as I believe in the osmosis learning, I think giving him more opportunity gives you a better version of Jordan Love. And we haven't been able to necessarily see that, but if he's taking all of the snaps, the offense is geared particularly towards him. I think we could see a solid season from him. But yeah, give me White Mike as the backup for Jordan Love.
Hey, it's a knows the system guy. He played under Mike LaFleur. He's going to another LaFleur. It's just unfortunate that this is going to be, if Jordan Love is good, and I'm with you that I actually have a little bit of faith here in Jordan Love. I like what we saw at the end of that Eagles game. Their confidence alone in like, we're done with you, Aaron. Like, let's just go to Jordan Love is proof of concept, I think, a little bit. It's going to just be another proof of the theory that learning by osmosis, Claybon. So you've really you've banged your own theory here, which I think is good. Baltimore Ravens. Obviously, we have Lamar Jackson walking here. I, by the way, think he's going to, I think somehow he just ends up back in Baltimore and this is all for nothing. That's my thoughts on the situation. And I kind of want to see him in Todd Monken's offense because I think that's fun and exciting. But in a hypothetical scenario here, in our hypothetical world, which none of this is really going to happen, Lamar Jackson's playing for Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who's playing for the Baltimore Ravens?
And I've already sent Tyler Huntley off to be the backup as well.
No Pro Bowlers available, buddy.
So the Pro Bowler's there. So let's, you know, we just matched up a guy who was involved in a system. Stetson Bennett is in the 2023 NFL draft. He just finished playing for Todd Monken. And so let's throw Stetson Bennett right there as the quarterback of the Baltimore Ravens. Why are you face palming right now, Matt?
I mean, you got to get, okay, well, who else is, who else other than Stetson Bennett? Although, I mean, I guess, yeah, he knows the system. That, I mean, come on, man, that is depressing.
No, well, because there's so many spots, and I think the instant pull for a lot of people is they're going to be like, well, let's find an athletic quarterback and try to make it work, but it's an entirely different system. Todd Monken is bringing in this is not Greg Roman, thankfully. We're going to see something different. So if you would like a current name, let's throw Marcus Mariota out there, put him in. And this is, again, this is a hypothetical post Lamar Ravens situation. Marcus Mariota.
In this scenario, I guess they do have a couple of first round picks here to do something more interesting than Stetson Bennett and Marcus Mariota. But my God, every Ravens fan is just like smashed their iPhone with or whatever they're listening on at this point, that like this world is a non Lamar world. And also Stetson Bennett, Marcus Mariota duking it out at quarterback. Yikes. All right. Tier four here. These are our asset-rich lurkers. Both these teams have two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and they've got a quarterback entrenched in Geno Smith and Jared Goff. In our universe here, they did not pick a rookie quarterback. So are we just sticking pat with Geno Smith and Jared Goff here?
I think so. You know, Jared was so good during stretches of last year, and you have to stick with Geno. If the trade situation in the top 10 doesn't necessarily work out where the Seahawks could perhaps have an Anthony Richardson, somebody that is, in their estimation, going to sit behind Geno and watch, because at least the way that the deal is structured, you've maybe got Geno for a couple of years. They're still going to need a longer term option at quarterback, and Geno could maybe be going somewhere else, you know, considering the way he's playing and the way that this deal is laid out. But I just think unless you have a shot at that upper echelon of quarterbacks that's available, you stick with Geno and you stick with Jared Goff. I just think you do. It's too easy.
I think that, Anthony Richardson, maybe if either one of these teams just absolutely loves Will Levis because he does have like a howitzer or whatever, allegedly, then I think that would be tempting. But yeah, like I just don't see the point in, if you're Detroit, like, all right, let me get aggressive for CJ Stroud. I love CJ Stroud. Yeah. I like CJ Stroud a lot, but I think that they can just get Jared Goff and keep it moving. The only problem is like they are just in a rare opportunity here with the top five, you know, top 10 pick, six overall for Detroit, fifth overall for Seattle. But I get them passing it up and just sticking it with these guys. I think that's fine.
But also, Detroit does have two first-round picks and $23 million in cap space. Maybe they make a call to a certain South Florida number and say, hey, you know, this is your offer sheet. What do you think?
And then they've got Jared Goff as a potential trade piece, you know? And then we've got that would be great. Like, Jared Goff then is on the move. And I think Lamar, with this offense, would be absolutely electric. I mean, I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson, and similar to what I said about Chris Godwin in our hypothetical universe here, paired up with Lamar Jackson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, slot receiver menace, guy can beat zone coverage, can beat man coverage a little bit. Like, you're flying there at that point with Lamar and St. Brown.
And a year two J-Mo coming back off the injury.
Yeah.
You know, we saw, because there was the first season of Jalen Waddle, and there was the, oh, you know, his yards per catch, ha, 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 but he was coming back from a broken leg. And so then we get a healthy Jalen Waddle, and he's destroying the world. J-Mo was doing that like 9 months off of a full knee reconstruction. It's going to be silly. I really do think the things that this Lions offense can do, especially you get a healthy Swift, they could do a lot. Is Jared Goff the limitation to that? I don't know. Maybe there's a level of Jared that we haven't seen yet. Or maybe we've already seen Max Jared now twice in his career. It's kind of a dice roll.
Yeah, well, I think that they're in sort of a no-lose situation here. Like, if they want to stick with Jared, that's great. But if they want to take a huge swing at one of these rookies or a Lamar Jackson, there's plenty of upside to that, obviously. Man, that's fun. Bring back Jamal Williams, too. That's a fun team.
Yeah.
That's a fun team right there. Everybody can get behind that. All right, tier five here. Our weird lurkers here.
I just like looking at the text. Weird lurkers is an incredible way to describe football teams. I enjoy it.
I did a decent amount of legwork putting this outline together, but all of the tier titles are 100% producer Brett Rader. So shout out to him for weird
incredible
lurkers.
Work.
You changed one of them. I did include the term WTF in the original title for the Green Bay Baltimore term.
Well, I'm a nice guy. I'm not going to have WTF on the podcast, for God's sakes. All right. Possible new horizons. That sounds much more uplifting than WTF. anyways, back to weird lurkers, though. Tier five starts with the Tennessee Titans here. I've got Tennessee, Miami, San Francisco, and the LA Rams, but let's get back to Tennessee here. In our universe, Ryan Tannehill has gone. He's in Washington or Landover, Maryland, or Ashburn, Virginia, one of the many little areas that you can point to with the Washington Commanders. What are they doing this year at this point? Like, are they don't seem to have any desire in developing Malik Willis. So who is going to Tennessee?
Yeah. And it's kind of, it's tough to hit the reset button a year after you get Malik Willis, but maybe they give Malik Willis another shot and go get a veteran back like Case Keenum. You know, it's not necessarily going to get anybody a whole lot of excited, but just going down the list of available quarterbacks, Josh Dobbs did play somewhat well for some period of time during the end of the season. Maybe you get an entire camp and a look at Josh Dobbs, but give a veteran backup and just try. I know being pot committed and sunk cost is a logical fallacy. It doesn't necessarily work. But we've talked about tools a whole lot with Anthony Richardson, and we know that the tools are there for Malik Willis. Is he going to be willing to throw the ball? I think in a second year, things could be fundamentally different for him.
Miami Dolphins, next one here. They insist that they are not making a move for a starting quarterback, which is fine. I think I think Tua's gotten a little bit too much crap at this point. But regardless, you'd think they'd want a better backup plan after a swing and miss with Teddy Bridgewater last year. So where are we going here for the Miami Dolphins? Probably at a backup level quarterback.
Yeah, it's a backup level quarterback, and I've been looking for the spot for Taylor Heineke. And I think this is
let's go.
This is one where you can get your ODU star into a comfortable place, and hopefully he.
Oh, people thought Tua underthrew Tyreek Hill deep balls. Wait till you see Taylor Heineke.
But Taylor's underthrows are going to be by design. It's going to be the plan. It's like, hey, you know, I'm not reading all that. Like we should make the meme. Of the very long text is like, hey, sorry that it happened. Congratulations. That's Taylor Heineke in the pocket. And he's going to hoist it up there, and he could go to Miami and hopefully, knock on wood, never see the field. We get a full season of Tua. That's all anybody wants to see. Do not want to see this man laying on the ground anymore. Let's protect Tua and have Taylor Heineke there, you know, because sometimes his arms are going to get tired in practice. That would be the goal.
Love that. Yeah. Taylor Heineke, backup quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. That should be really fun. All right. San Francisco 49ers. We know the deal with Purdy. He's got surgery. You know, who the hell knows when we're going to see Brock Purdy. All I wanted in this real universe and in our fake universe is a 50-50, two man enter, one man's leaves here with Brock Purdy and Trey Lance battling it out at the position. I think that would have been great. Probably not what we're going to get, though. So, John Lynch said they were going to be involved in the veteran quarterback market. Do they add a veteran of consequence here to be the third guy in the mix between Purdy, whenever the hell he's ready, Trey Lance, he's just doesn't have a lot of reps the last few years. I'm still holding out hope for Trey Lance, but how much level of hope are you holding out for Trey Lance? I think it'll say a lot based on who you match him with here.
Yeah, I'm holding out plenty of hope for Trey Lance. I think Trey Lance could be a serviceable starter. We could be in a situation because everybody always pits people against each other. Trey Lance and Brock Purdy could both be ultimately good. But Brock was gutting it out and trying to play. I hope, you know, we'll never know when the ligament was completely torn, but I hope it wasn't on that little 5-yard pass that he threw that was kind of honestly hopeless at that point, because it was essentially off the bone, and they're going to get in there with his UCL. There was so much swelling that they couldn't perform the surgery. I think his surgery is scheduled for Friday. So it's going to be some time. So I think you bring Jameis Winston in. You have somebody that can be a quarterback. Because essentially, I think the 49ers could make a case that they should carry 5 quarterbacks. I don't think that there's too many quarterbacks that Kyle and company should have. So let's match Jameis with the 49ers and hope Brock makes a full recovery and just plan to have Trey start the season no matter what.
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Jameis Winston uncork like 5 deep balls to Brandon Ayuk a game. That would be good for me personally. I can't necessarily get my mind around Jameis Winston in a Kyle Shanahan offense with Kyle Shanahan and his need to control things and like Jameis Winston being the wildest of all the wild stallions. But I like it. Okay. And again, we're probably not having him see the field here. So we're definitely getting a little weird here. I like that. All right. Last team here. The LA Rams, they're in the middle of a fire sale. They desperately need insurance after the way last season went for Matthew Stafford. But is that like all they're looking for? I think they are kind of like, I don't think they're going to trade Stafford, but I think they definitely need to add somebody here as they are in the middle of a retooling. And regardless, like, I don't think you can have John Wolford and, you know, Bryce Perkins taking snaps at quarterback again next year. Baker Mayfield has already punched his ticket to the Atlanta Falcons. So who's going to punch their ticket? Be right there, your next door neighbor in SoFi Stadium.
Yeah, it's going to be one of a couple of next door neighbors, and we saw. I'm not going to move Tyrod at this juncture. We're going to keep him there. So let's have Teddy Bridgewater come over and be the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, a backup. You know, hopefully Matthew Stafford is able to finish things out, but it remains to be seen. Does Stafford want to be a part of a rebuild at this point? Maybe Stafford is shippable. To some of these teams, you know, the Jets get in a situation where they're out on Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. Is there a discussion between, you know, Joe Douglas and the folks in the Rams? I'm not sure there. That's a pie in the sky thing that just popped in my head. And now I'm kind of thinking about it a lot. Let's do Teddy B to the Rams.
I like that. Yeah, this is good. That's a good one here. We did not get you to place Jacoby Brissett or Jimmy Garoppolo, right? So where we pick, we got to throw those guys places. Where are we throwing them?
Okay. If things are
if those guys are both available, then Jimmy G, no Rodgers goes to the Jets, and Jacoby goes to where I wanted him to go last year, to the San Francisco 49ers. Okay. We'll have those spots. 1A, 1B for the guys I previously picked.
Yeah, Jacoby Brissett. Yeah, I like that one a lot. And then I like Jacoby Brissett in Carolina, but I guess Sam Darnold is fine. And then Jimmy's either in New York with Aaron Rodgers or he's just there. I don't know. I mean, who knows? Jimmy G thing. Jimmy probably, by the way, is actually going to Houston. He's probably going to be the placeholder in Houston, and we're not even going to have this. Like, I don't know, whatever. Okay, so there's a lot of places Jimmy could be. But can we, for the purposes of not depressing an entire fan base, can we just give Jimmy to Baltimore just so I don't have to look at Stetson Bennett and Marcus Mariota?
Okay. I mean, that was kind of just a thing because I was frustrated. The Ravens could have solved all of this 2 years ago.
By paying Lamar.
And so it's like, yeah, here, take Stetson Bennett if you want the things. But I think Stetson may be fine. Like, it is correct. But yeah, let's do it. Jimmy G to the Baltimore Ravens. How about that?
All right. I just felt a little bit vindictive by you, but regardless.
It was.
Just a little bit. Okay. So here's our recap of what we've got here in our totally accurate, actually going to happen universe. We've got Aaron Rodgers with the New York Jets. We've got Sam Howell and Ryan Tannehill duking it out in Washington. We've got Lamar Jackson, oh baby, in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers creamsicle uniform. That's a pretty good look, by the way. That is going to look good on your wall there. We've got Gardner Minshew holding down the fort in Arizona. Oh boy. We got Andy Dalton with Bryce Young in Houston. We got Anthony Richardson and Sam Mehlinger in Indianapolis. We got CJ Stroud, Tyler Huntley, Las Vegas Raiders. I like that one. Pro Bowl quarterback, exciting young guy. Atlanta Falcons, we got Desmond Ridder and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, baby.
Carolina, we've got Will Levis and we've got Sam Darnold. I like this one as well. Green Bay Packers, we got Magic Mike White behind Jordan Love. Probably never going to see him play because Jordan Love's going to be good. In Baltimore, we've got a weird mix of Stetson Bennett, Marcus Mariota, and Jimmy Garoppolo. The Detroit Lions and the Seattle Seahawks stand pat with Jared Goff and Geno Smith. And then our weird lurkers have somehow ended up with Case Keenum and Malik Willis, the Tennessee Titans. Taylor Heinicke with backing up Tua, hopefully never seeing the field. For the Miami Dolphins, the San Francisco 49ers, they've got Brock Purdy, Trey Lance. Forget about that. We've got Jacoby Brissett and Jameis Winston, baby. And then the LA Rams have Teddy Bridgewater, maybe backing up Matthew Stafford. I gotta say, Claybon, this is a rather fun NFL universe we've made here.
And that's the goal, right? That is the task that was set before us. Well, let's create a fun hypothetical universe where some guys get to play some football and we get to watch them. There's none of these games where it's like, I'm going to watch Bubble Guppies or something. You know, we're just out here.
We will next episode. We'll have you back on and do an in-depth breakdown on Stetson Bennett's fit with Mark Andrews, Ryan Tannehill's fit with Terry McLaurin. How is Jameis Winston going to fit with Deebo Samuel and the little pop gun passes? We don't know yet, but Claybon, you'll be in the film room breaking all that down over the next few months. We'll have you back in training camp to do all that.
Yeah,
that's God's work right there.
Let's do it. And we'll have so many clips from this episode. It's like, how did they know? It's like, wow, these guys are just pulling that directly out of their ass. So it's like, that's what happened, but we picked it and we figured it out.
Well, when you get a big NFL Network superstar yourself on the show, that's where you get the real accurate predictions here. That's what you did for us, Claybon. Appreciate you, man. Where can the people check out everything that you're doing?
All right. It's just at Patrick Claybon on Twitter.com. If you're able to catch us on NFL Network, we got NFL Now coming up on Friday. And also Free Agency Frenzy starts on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern. As all of the news that's going to make everything that we just talked about completely irrelevant is going to start on Sunday. Well, it's going to start totally on the weekend, but check us out Sunday at 1 o'clock Eastern on the NFL Network.
You've got a good 4-ish days to really think about this fun universe we put together before a meteorite of truth hits it and just shatters everything that we've talked about here, except the Baltimore Ravens new quarterback situation. That's obviously totally 100% accurate. But yeah. Claybon, appreciate it, man. This was great. Absolutely electric stuff from you. Again, if you can find us on NFL Network, probably a pretty much. Hey, let me tell you what, buddy, much easier for them to find your video work than to find any of mine. You got to go to yahoo.com and look around this way, maybe on YouTube, maybe out there. I don't know, but you're doing great stuff, man. I appreciate it. I'll have to come at some point pick up my wedding gift. I guess.
That's on me to bring it to you. That's going to happen at some point very soon, before June at least. God.
Well, I promise I will definitely see you soon. For you people out there, if you don't already, for God's sakes, make sure you're following at Patrick Claibon for the best tweets. You can follow me for some decent tweets at @MattHarmon_BYB. While you're there, follow Yahoo Fantasy as well at Yahoo Fantasy. Hold on to your butts, people. We're going to be back late Tuesday reacting to 2 days of free agency, the legal tampering period, whatever the hell that means. If we don't have any big breaking news before then, until then, we're out.